Hallelujah. Mark 5:21. We're going to read through this. This is the woman with the issue of blood, and then a little girl being healed. But let's start reading, and then we'll get to where we're going to be talking tonight. Verse 21, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him. A great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years... Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Notice that. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Notice what he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. And that's what I want to start with tonight, is talking about faith. Now we're going to be talking about faith and healing, but notice what made her well. Not just because she touched, is because of her faith. That's the key. Because your faith will make you well. My faith will make me well. Now is it just something that we drum up? No, your faith is in what Jesus said, what God has said. But our faith will make us well. That's the key. It's not just some waving our magic wand. It's not chanting a prayer. It's not repeating certain things. It's not you just reading your Bible or anything. It's our faith, our belief in God. That's what's going to make us well. And so when we're talking about healing, we want to know how are we going to get there? Well, it's going to be believing what God has said about healing, taking it for our own, that's going to make it active in our life. Now, this is a real account of a real person. She believed that her faith was going to make her well. She said it back in verse 28. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. See, she believed going in. So when she touched him, something happened, power went out from Jesus, and she became well. It cured whatever that affliction was in her body. It was the switch. Faith is the switch that activates the power. You know, we're all familiar with light switches. Well, the power is there. In your house, it's in this building right now. It's at that switch. But if you have the switch off, you won't see any of it. But it's there. It's resident. As soon as you flip the switch, that's what makes the power flow. That's what makes the lights go on. And it's the same thing with the power of God. The power of God is real and is a real entity. And, you know, we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside us. Ephesians 1 talks about that you may know. Let's turn over there real quick. Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Are you believing with me for utterance? We're believing. We're going with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he seated him from the dead, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That power in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? You know, the Bible says that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we have the Spirit of Almighty God. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We are in union with him. Our spirit is one with his spirit. Not our flesh, not our mind. Our spirit is one with him. If Almighty God dwells in us, that's all the power we're ever going to need to be healed in our body or for anything else to happen in our lives. We have the resident power of Almighty God. But even if we're born again, even if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we have that power inside us, but if we don't believe and know what is ours, it won't be actuated in our lives. We can walk around with the power of God Almighty inside of us, and it not affect certain things in our life. That's just like you could walk around, or you could go into your house, and the electric company has not turned off your power, it's on. It's activated, but if you don't flip the switch, you're going to walk in darkness. If I went home tonight and I did not flip the switch on, I'd bumble around. I could, you know, not see anything, stub my toe and everything, and all the while, all I had to do is flip the switch to enjoy the benefits of what is already resident at my house. And it's the same thing. We can walk around carrying the power of Almighty God inside of us. Right now. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead in us. That we are one inside with the mighty God of the universe. The Holy Spirit is one right now, every one of us. That's a reality. But if we don't believe it, if we don't know it, if we don't know what's been purchased for us, we won't act on it. And if we don't act on it, that's like leaving the switch and it's off position. Some people say, well, you know, this person knows all kinds of scriptures and they can quote all these scriptures, but they're still sick in their body. It doesn't matter if you can quote scriptures. It's if you believe. It's if you believe the scriptures and that you act on them. And believing is a choice. We choose to believe. I believe that in our heart. In our heart, kind of giving a little bit of an overview, but that's why it's so crucial. If we go to just trying to get the healing scriptures, but we don't understand what's going on, sometimes we miss it. We just have to know that our faith, if we'll believe God, that's the switch that's going to activate the power that's going to affect our healing in our bodies. So her faith, the woman with the issue of blood, it made her whole. Hallelujah. This same phrase is used other times. Let's just read a couple of them before we go on. Matthew 9:20. Same account. Let's go to Matthew 9:20. Matthew 9:20, same thing, same account. A different account of same story. Verse 20, It says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had a flow of blood for 12 years. Came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. So she's not just going to touch his garment just to say she touched him. She believes that when she touches his garment, something will happen. Verse 22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Mark 10. Or actually, let's do it this way. Actually, just stay in Matthew. Just skip down a few verses while we're here. Matthew 9:27. So just skip down to verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Verse 28, let's read that again. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, so they're blind, and it's obvious they're blind. The blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. They came in believing that something was going to happen. He asked them, saying, do you believe? Do you believe that I can do this? And they said, yes. Yes, we do. And he said, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. So it's according to their faith. Something happened because of their faith. Let's turn over back over to Mark and go to chapter 10. Just reading a few verses to this effect before we go on. Mark 10, verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. Then now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. See, the same thing. Your faith has made you well. You know, in verse 51, Jesus asked him, and said, what do you want me to do for you? Which would seem obvious, but he wants to locate the guy. What are you believing? What do you want me to do for you? And he said that I might receive my sight. And then he said, go your way, because he believes that Jesus can do this. That's what he's asking. What do you want me to do for you that I want to see? Okay, your faith has made you well. And he goes seeing. But I just want to notice, just reading these scriptures, that it's their faith that made them well. That they drew on something, that they flipped a switch and drew on something so that the power of God was activated. So our faith is crucial. What is faith? Faith is believing. There's no difference between faith and believing. To have faith is to believe. Faith is a noun, believes a verb. If you're believing, you have faith. They're the same thing. So you can see that throughout Scripture. We're going to read a few verses. But yeah, let's just go to the next part. So faith is believing. To believe is to have faith. Faith, a definition, is confidence, persuasion, that you believe, that you are convinced of something. That's faith. If I'm convinced that this will hold me up, then if I sit on it, I don't think twice about it. If I didn't believe it could hold me up, I probably wouldn't sit on it. Or I would have some kind of backup mechanism. I put some pillows there or something, so when if this thing caves, it's going to catch me. But if I believe it's going to hold me up, I'm convinced of it, I don't think anything of it, I'm just going to put my weight down on it. That's believing. That's faith. Faith is believing. Well, how do you become convinced of something? How do you believe it? When we're talking about the Bible and we're talking about healing, we have to know what God said about healing. That's the only way we can have faith. That's the only way we can be convinced of something, is if we have God's word on it. It's not that we have heard somebody talk about healing, or we really want to be healed, or we need healing. None of those are good enough reasons. Those aren't faith. It's not that there aren't valid reasons, but that's not what activates something to happen. Our need doesn't make it happen. Do you hear me? Our need doesn't make it happen. Crying about it doesn't make it happen. But God, because God's not the problem. God has given it to us, but we have to believe. We have to say, no, that's mine, I'll take it. God is not withholding anything from anybody. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Okay, people have made it like, God, why won't you heal me? God, we're not waiting on Him. Jesus bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17 says, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's done. You say, well, why is my body still like it is? We have to take it and believe it and not be pushed off it and say, no, that's mine. That's going to happen. And we take it, we don't let it go. But we have to understand that what faith is, because some people have a misconception of what faith is. And faith has become this religious term. Well, you have faith, and, well, I have faith, and, you know, I just believe something's going to happen and someday. And the problem is, faith has become religious instead of just simply that it is believing a promise that God made. And that's it. Now, let me give you an illustration. Let's say I have in my pocket, and I'm not saying this, okay, this is an illustration. I'm not saying this. Let's say I had a wad of $100 bills. And I came in and I said, you know what? God has blessed me. And, you know, I have a wad of $100 bills here. And I just want to give two people in here $500 each. I just have it on my heart. I want to give two people in here $500 each. Now, don't answer this out loud. Okay? Don't answer this out loud. I'm not trying to fool you. I'm not trying to, you know, get you or anything. Just in your mind, think about it, though. Could you have faith that you would get, be one of the people that gets one of the $500 bills or $500? Could you have faith that you are going to be one of those two people? Now just think about it. Could you have faith? I have a wad of $500 bills, and I said, I'm going to give five of those each to two people. Could you have faith that that you're going to be one of those people? Now, I don't want to hear, don't think, oh, word of wisdom or knowledge or, you know, I just know by the Spirit. I'm saying, could you have faith? Think about it. The answer is no, you could not have faith. You could not have faith. But you can say, well, I need $500. That's my answer. But you can't have faith. Because I said, I'm going to give two people in here $500, and there is nothing to say that you're going to be one of those people. You cannot have faith and believe that you are going to get the $500 bill. Now listen, if this does not make sense, or if this says, well, I don't know about that, that's where some people don't, they just think they can go to God and just say, well, I want this. They say they believe, but the fact is they don't have any real faith because they don't know why they're believing what they're believing. It's more like, I just want this to happen. Now, on the other hand, let's say I did this and I came in and said, no, God has really blessed me. Now, I have this wad of $100 bills, and whosoever comes up here and comes up to me and asks me, I will give $500. Whosoever comes up. Now, could you have faith that you could get $500 from me? Yes, you could. You come up to me after the service and you say, Pastor Jim, you said that whoever in here came up to you and asked for $500, you would give it to him. So if your word's any good, I have five Benjamins coming right now. So you see that? Because it's whosoever. You heard me say that. You believe what I said, and you can have faith that it's going to happen. You see the difference? Now, if that doesn't quite pan out for you, then just think about it and get a hold of it. Because that's what we're talking about. If we know what God said in the Word, and we find what He said, and we believe He's trustworthy, then we can believe and go to Him and say, God, if Your Word is good, this is what You said, and I believe You're trustworthy, and therefore, I'm taking mine. That's faith. You're saying, it's mine. I'm taking it. And if God's Word's good, which it is, or else the whole universe would have fallen apart already, the Bible says He cannot lie, then if we'll believe Him, our faith, in this case, if we're talking about healing or in any circumstance, our faith will make us whole. That's what'll make it happen, because we're believing Him. We're believing what He said. Hallelujah. Another example. Let's say, you have children and they're going to the daycare, and they need to be picked up on Friday. And somebody goes up and says, well, aren't you going to go pick up your kids? And you say, well, no, I just believe Pastor Jim's going to do it. I'm not going today. I just, I was thinking about it and I thought, I just believe he's going to do it today. Well, did he tell you he was going to do it? No, but I just believe he will. That's not believing. That's wishing. That's hoping. But that's not believing. Because if I didn't tell you that was going to happen, this is where people use the words believe. I believe that's going to happen. They don't believe. What do they believe? Believing, saying, if I told you, now if I told you I was going to pick them up, and somebody asked you, well, why aren't you going to pick your kids up? Well, no, Pastor Jim said that he was going to do it. And I believe his word's good, and I believe he'll pick them up. See, that's believing. But some people just say, well, I believe this will happen. I believe God will do this. Where did he tell you that he would do that? If we don't know, and if we have doubts, well, I don't know if it really applies to me, or I don't know if it'll happen, then we need to get those straightened out because we're not really in faith then. But if we'll just find out what the Word says and see what His promises say to us, and we take this as not just some historical document that may or may not contain the truth, but that as God Almighty speaking to us, and we can see it in the Word where it applies to us, then we have His Word, a legal document, that whatever we see in here, if it applies to us, it's ours. And then just like you could take a legal document in a court of law and demand certain things happen with God, you respectfully, you're not going to demand anything of Him. If He said He would do it, you're saying, I believe that, and really you're demanding it of the enemy who's trying to keep it away from you. You're saying, God's Word says it, I have legal right to this, therefore I have it, and nothing is going to keep me from this. That's when you know, that's believing. That's why it comes back to what God has said. And that's why we open our Bibles in church. That's why we should know what is being said in here. Because if we just kind of wave our hands and say, oh, kind of, I know that stuff. Well, do we really know what He said? Because if we don't really know He said, and we're taking somebody on the TV's word for it or some book we read, nothing wrong with reading books or watching TV, you know, for certain things. But if we don't know that God said it, that person is not the one that's going to affect healing in my body. And if it's something like so and brother so and so said, the enemy doesn't care. They may be right and on the Word of God, but the enemy doesn't care what brother so-and-so said, because brother so-and-so doesn't have the power to heal us. And so we need to get it to where God, we know what God said, and we say, no, God, in the court of the universe, this is what He said, and therefore it belongs to me, and therefore I shall have this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11:1. Before we go any further talking about different things, you know, in future meetings, we need to get it established what we are, what faith is, what we're talking about when we're believing God for something. Because if we're not actually believing Him like according to what the Bible says, then when we're not seeing what we believe we should, we got to make sure we're in position to receive. In the correct position. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to read you that in some other translations. We're talking about faith is confidence. Faith is assurance. Faith is a persuasion that I'm fully persuaded that something is going to happen. The ASV says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now when we're reading hoped, we maybe cover this in a different night, but hoped is expected. Hoped is not like wished. A lot of times the way we use hope now is like, well, I sure hope something will happen. I wish it would. That's not what this word means. This word means I expect it to happen. Your hope is I expect something. So when we're saying now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, faith is the assurance of what I expect. I expect this to happen because I believe God said it, so I expect to see something. That's what this is saying. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Weymouth's translation says, now faith is a confident assurance of that which we hope, for which we hope. Moffat's translation says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. Another one says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Another one says, now faith is the title deed of things hoped for. And then the evidence of things not seen. The ASV says a conviction of things not seen. The Weymouth says a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. Another one says the proof of the reality of the things we cannot see. Another one says the putting to the proof of things not seen. So it's a confident faith is an expectation, an assurance, a confidence, a conviction that something is going to happen. Not a wishing and not a hoping. So we go back to the example of giving the money. It's not that, well, I hope I'm one of the two. It's no, you said this, and if your word's good, this is what's going to happen, and I believe it, and I'm convicted, so I'm going to come up and ask you for it. And I'm going to believe that you're going to give, and you're going to follow through. That's faith. That's faith. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's go, we'll end up here, and we'll probably pick up here next week, or we may go in a different direction, but let's turn over to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to this. Verse 14, so he's talking about salvation, but this applies to everything. This is the way we receive from God. This is the way when we've heard the word, we believe it in our heart, we speak it with our mouth. That's the way we get born again. That's the way we receive from God. But verse 14, he says, now then they shall call, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him? Now believe, remember, believing is to have faith. So how that he's talking about the same thing. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he's talking about believing and ends up saying faith. That's because faith and believing are interchangeable. Well, what's he saying back in verse 14? How then shall they call on him in whom, he's going backwards here. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So if you go forward, go in reverse order, which is really the way things happen, starting with verse 15. How shall they preach unless they are sent? Somebody has to be sent. We have to hear. Somebody has to be sent to declare the word. And then the next sentence going backwards, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So this is the preacher that has been sent that's preaching to them. And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? So if somebody's been sent and they're preaching and a person hears the word, then the beginning says, how shall they not call on him in whom they have not believed? So what has to happen? We have to hear the word. hear what the promises are, and then we can call on the name of the Lord. So that applies to salvation. You could not be born again until somebody told you the word and what God had promised, that if you'll call on him, that he had already paid for all our sins, and that what you need to do is call on him to be saved. That's the same thing with every part of the word of God. If it's healing, we need to know what has God said concerning healing. If we know what he said, now we can believe. And now we can call on the name of the Lord, and we can be saved, we can be made whole, we can be healed. But what does it start with? We have to hear the word so that we can believe. Going back to our illustration real quick, and we'll close. If somebody were out in the lobby or came late, and let's say I was saying the thing about the $100 bills, and I said, you know, anybody that wants the $100 bills, whoever, I'm going to give you $500 each if you come after service. Come up here after service. And so let's say somebody came in right after I said that, and nobody's telling them anything, everybody's quiet. Now, after the service, people are coming up. They don't think anything of it. They see people are just coming up to talk or whatever, and they leave. See, they didn't hear the promise, so they couldn't act on it, so they could not receive. And that's the thing. So first thing is we need to know what God said. The number one, not wish, not hope, not say, God, but just do it. He's not going to do anything apart from what he said. And so if we know what he said, then we can draw on what he said and receive. Hallelujah. So that's what starts our faith. If we can believe on him. And it doesn't, and it's the same way as we got born again. The same principle, same thing. Thank God.